Enjoyed the additional two free meals that we've gotten since we last spoke. Wanted to just give a little bit of an introduction to some of the things that are available here in the yeshiva, and then give you time to spend with Rav Weinberger Shlita. I think that one of the best ways that we can give you a sense of introducing you to what's here at the yeshiva is really to have Rav Weinberger speak, because Rav Weinberger doesn't give a daily shiur. None of you are in his shiur. And his shiurim and his chugim are just one of the many, many things in the yeshiva that are here if you take advantage of it and if you step forward to do it. I spoke a little bit this morning about the need to use people as guides, to find people here to talk to, how to make decisions, because there's so much that you can do here, there's so much that's available for you. On the yeshiva side, there's a massive amount that's here. More than any other yeshiva in the world, there are opportunities here. But most of them, and most of the perhaps the most meaningful experiences, are things that you can decide whether you want to do, or you could decide you're not going to do it. And that's what makes the experience here kind of unique, or certainly very different than what you did for most of you who are coming back directly from Eretz Yisrael. So what you have here is an opportunity. You have the biggest smorgasbord that you're going to ever see of opportunities to learn and to grow, but it's there for you. And there are many different paths, as we said. So for those of you who didn't get to meet this morning, my name is Menachem Penner, and I'm the dean of both the Smicha program, REITs, as well as the undergraduate Torah studies programs. And I have the schus to be able to work with all of you. There are about 1,300 Kanai Nahara men learning on this campus every single day. 1,300. There's a huge amount that goes on every single day and a huge amount of opportunities. But it's really here for you to take advantage of. One of the decisions, one of the choices that you'll have to make here is to decide whether, in addition to all of the college work that you're going to do, if you want to feel like you're in yeshiva. It's not Eretz Yisrael, and it's different than someone who has 24 hours a day. I just left the Siyum in the closing program for the Beina Semesterim program, very fancy name they gave us, Yeshivas Beina Semesterim, where guys like yourselves who happened to finish a couple of weeks of reading week and finals decided to stay in for the 2 weeks and have an unbelievable program here where they're learning all day long. It's harder when you're balancing, and that's what a lot of it is here in YU. But many of the most important things you could do to have a yeshiva experience are things that don't happen on the schedule of things that you've got to do. You didn't register. Hopefully you've all now registered for something through Rabbi Kalinsky, something in the morning. But some of the most incredible things that go on here are things that you're not going to be able to register for. You're just going to be able to decide if you want to do them. Let me give you a few examples. Shabbos. Shabbos here in yeshiva is a very, very powerful experience. And you get to hear every single week different Rosh Yeshiva, different Mashkichim who are in here for Shabbos. But you don't have to stay for Shabbos. I'll tell you a secret. Even when we call an in Shabbos, which I think now is called a community Shabbos, whatever. It's not actually an in Shabbos. That's the secret. You don't have to stay for Shabbos, even if you're not from New York and you're kind of in the New York area anyway. You don't have to stay here. But the difference between staying here for many other Shabbosos of the year and not is the difference of having a real yeshiva experience. If you think back, you don't have to think so far back. You were in Eretz Yisrael, many of you, for a year and a half. So think of what some of the most powerful experiences were that you had over that year and a half. They didn't always happen during shiur on Tuesday afternoon. Sometimes they did. No, you shouldn't laugh. See, now he laughed. I don't know who shiur he was in. But they didn't always happen during shiur on Tuesday afternoon, right? Very often they happened late at night. Very often they happened on Shabbos. Very often they happened late Motzei Shabbos. That's what really makes for a yeshiva experience. So first of all, there are wonderful Shabbos opportunities. They have to pay the Shabbos? Hopefully not. You're all invited for free on me to stay for Shabbos this week. I'll be here. Rav Schechter will be here. There'll be many personalities here for Shabbos to be able to see what goes on here on a Shabbos, especially a Shabbos when a Rav Weinberger is here, things like that. There's a real chavaya. I come just to spend Shabbos here when Rav Weinberg is here for Shabbos very often. It's really an amazing thing. It's an amazing thing to be able to be here for the Shabbos programs. Night Seder. So we have with us here Yitzi Radner, who is one of our two Night Seder Rabbeim, Night Seder coordinators. There are incredible number of things to do here at night for Night Seder. We have a program which you can jump into the middle on for learning Bekiyas in Sanhedrin, prizes, things like that, Svarim sale, all this and that. But most of all, a chevra of guys who are learning things together. There is no mandatory Night Seder at YU. But if you learn some Night Seder, some of you will find that you could learn 2-3 hours and it's not a problem with college. Some of you will find it's really hard. But the difference between spending some time in the Beis Medrash at night, especially sometime backing it into Ma'ariv, 9:15 to 10 o'clock, Ma'ariv's here is 10 o'clock in the Beis Medrash, that will change your whole experience here. It's great if you can learn here the whole night. But if you can learn here from 9:15, even 9:30, and have a chavrusa from 9:15 or 9:30 till 10, and then you daven Ma'ariv, you bookended your whole day. You said you're in yeshiva. It's not that you were half a day in yeshiva and half a day you were in college. You're in yeshiva, and you took a lot of very, very solid, important college classes during the day. It's a huge difference. So anybody who wants to find a chavrusa, he's not going to stay until the end of the whole thing tonight because he's heading back to the Beis Medrash, but both Rabbi Yitzi Radner and Rabbi Ru Berman, you could find them both. He sits on the first floor in Gluck at night, and there are many opportunities to do that. There are more chugim here than we could possibly describe that go on every second that there's not a class, whether it's at lunch, whether it's in the morning, after Shacharis, at the beginning of morning Seder, 12 o'clock, in the afternoon, at night, all around. You'll see signs in the Gluck building downstairs. You'll see a list of all the things. Go to one. Add something. Add something to the list of things that you're doing to be able to. If you have any topic you could possibly want, there's going to be a chug on it. And in fact, if there are three of you that want something and not, I'm sure we can start that chug also. Go to things like that. Rav Weinberger's chugim are optional. You're gonna get a chance to opportunity for those of you who haven't been able to learn with them. They're optional. You don't have to go to them. But if you do, it'll be a very different experience. A very, very different experience if you're here and you're doing this for the couple of years. They're wonderful people. I would specifically emphasize Thursday night. Thursday night. Right? To be here Thursday night. Thursday night's a big night in Yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael. Make it a big night to be here as well. The difference between going home when your last class ends on Thursday and staying over, even if you're not staying for Shabbos, and doing one of those stay-up-late cholent things on Thursday night, that's a really big difference in your week. It really makes a difference in terms of the experience that you have here. We have an endless number of people for you to connect to, as I spoke about this morning. I just want to point out some of the people in the room. We have Rabbi Dan Cohen, who is the Sephardic Skan Mashkiach, one of the many Mashkichim. What's nice here is that there are mashkichim who are assigned to particular groups of students, but they're really available for everybody. You can make a connection with the mashkiach because he happens to be the mashkiach on your floor in the Beis Medrash, or because that's somebody that you relate to. So, two of the mashkichim in the yeshiva, you have Rabbi Eli Bacon, you have Rabbi Josh Blass, who are here. You have Rav Weinberger, who's the mashpia in the yeshiva. You have many, many, and there are signs up around the yeshiva as to with the names and the pictures and everybody who are the different personalities here, as well as guides to the yeshiva. That can get the goal is to find one, like we spoke about this morning, to find somebody that you can connect to. The difference between that and not find that, if you go find one person that you could schmooze with, that you could talk to, some of the most important decisions in your life are going to happen in the next 3 or 4 years. It's to find the right person, whether it's the Rebbe of Yeshir, whether it's a Mashkiach, whether it's one of the administrators here. We have Rabbi Yosef Kalinsky, who, as I mentioned this morning, basically he lives in Washington Heights, but not just in his apartment. Basically, he lives here. He knows the yeshiva and most of the college better than anyone, and he's available around the clock to be able to help you to navigate the system here. Okay. And the last thing that I would say to you is that from all of us, that try things out this first week, try things out the second week, stay here for Shabbos, try out a couple of the chugim. Find the things that are going to work for you. Find the things that are going to work. Don't let the fact that there are 40 of them say, I can't go to any one of them. Try something out. Look at the signs downstairs. Try out the different things. It says where everything takes place. People here are actually really friendly. The guys here are really friendly. It's a great group of guys. You can feel comfortable to go over anybody in the Beis Medrash and ask them where you're going and what you should be doing and anything like that. And I hope you all have a great experience. We look forward to being on this journey together with you. And Amir Tzashem will be able to do great things together. So I introduce to you the Mashpi of the Yeshiva, Rav Moshe Weinberg.
To have time, to have time. Luchas Nefesh. However, there's a story that they say from the Mashgiach, Rosh Yeshiva, of the Lamji Yeshiva, when it was in Petach Tikva, Rabbi Chil Mordechai Gordon. It's a very famous story. It was a wealthy person, if such a thing was possible in Petach Tikva 70 years ago. That's what they say. And he was hanging around the yeshiva. He was trying to check out the guys to see. He wanted to find a chassan for his daughter. In those years, a father had a say in these things. So he wanted to pick out the best guy. But he's a smart gevir. He didn't just walk into the office and ask. He was staying in the Beis Medrash for a while. He was watching who's on time. The davening, the learning, he was watching. And finally, after a week or so, he went over to the Rosh Yeshiva. This wealthy person went over to the Rosh Yeshiva. And the Rosh Yeshiva asked him, no, anybody that you're interested in? So the Gevir said, if the Rosh Yeshiva looks over there by the seventh row, second seat from the window, that bacher, I'm watching him, his davening, his learning. I want him for my daughter. So the Rosh Yeshiva said, Yankel, that's my Ben Yochid. It's my only son. So the man was very flustered. You know, it's a chutzpah to ask the Rosh Yeshiva's son. So he got nervous and he said, well, there was a runner-up. The fifth row, fourth seat, on the other side over there, that Bach, Moshe? Moshe's my Ben Yochid. So now the Gevir said, look, from where I come from, a person can only have one Ben Yochid. How's it possible? So he says, really, Rosh Yeshiva? He said, I have, Baruch Hashem, 150 Banim Yechidim. 150, each one is a Ben Yochid. It's scary. You come to a place like this, after being in Yeshiva, and a lot of people, a lot of buildings, a lot of programs. Then when you get the English stuff, the mamish scare you out of your kelim. They're already going to tell you about finals and midterms, and you're going to, so I was joking before about a syllabus, you're going to see 14,000 pages to read by next Tuesday, and it's scary. I don't remember, but I tried to forget what happened here in English from the time that I was here. I don't know, but I can tell you that there have been many, many changes in the yeshiva. I've been here, this is my third year that I've been back here after a long time away. And really, I could say that, listening to Rabbi Penner, I could tell you that to Rabbi Penner, every single bocher is a Ben Yochid. To the Rebbeim, to the Mashgichim, I'm only here 2 days a week. I try as much as possible to get to know Chevra, but you have to make an effort. You have to make an effort. It's not like being in a small yeshiva where Bal Korachach, there's going to be that sense of camaraderie and closeness. You have to work at it, but you have the best chevra here in the world, both mitzad the rebbeim and mitzad the bachrim, the chevra, the guys in Karlal. I really would like to hear each one of your names and to ask a little bit about where you're from and where you were this past time of your life. We'll have to get to it because I see it's already pretty late, and I want to learn with you some Torah. So I hope that, Mitzvah Hashem, over the next few weeks, I'll meet you in the different shiurim that you're going to be in. I don't know if the shiurim have been assigned yet, Mistama, they've already been assigned. So I hope to meet you in the shiurim, which I come to every shiur, every now and then. But for now, I wanted to begin to learn with you a Torah. I was very, very nispol from this. I went over this on Shabbos with the Chevra and Shul. We're still, the aura of Tu B'Shvat is still with us. According to the Svar Makadoshim, of course, even though the Zman has ended, the time has ended, but the aura of Tu B'Shvat continues on this night, as it is after every Yantiv. And even though it's so cold, and we got hit with a big snow, that's exactly what this Torah is about. I'm assuming that every single one of you heard of Rabbi Akiva Eiger, right? You better have heard of Rabbi Akiva Eiger. So Rabbi Akiva Eiger had a son, Rabbi Shlomo Eiger. Rabbi Shlomo Eiger was also a guy in Olam. And Rabbi Shlomo Eiger had a son, Rabbi Leibel Eiger. Rabbi Leibel Eiger, Schussi Elena, shook up the entire world. He left his father and his grandfather, and he went to Kotsk. There are people who are still upset about that. Many years have passed. Rabbi Leibel Eiger had a son, Rabbi Avraham Eiger, the Shevet Miyehuda. And Rabbi Avraham Eiger had a son, Rabbi Shlomo Eiger, the second Rabbi Shlomo Eiger. Rabbi Shlomo Eiger was a tzaddik yisad olam. Rabbi Shlomo Eiger died in 1939, 1940. In Warsaw, he was zeichet to be buried before the destruction of the Warsaw Ghetto. Let's learn a short Torah from him. We only have a few minutes. I'm going to pack into this a lot. If there's a minute or two afterwards, I want to talk a little bit more about it. So look inside the Torah where it says L'Tu B'Shvat. This is printed in the back of the Torah Samus. From his grandfather. Minig Yisrael Lechol B'Tu B'Shvat Peres Yevashim. You have the place?
Yeah.
It's a minig on Tu B'Shvat to eat dried fruit. Now, there was a very practical reason for that minig in Europe to have dried fruit is because they really couldn't get fresh fruit from Eretz Yisrael. It wasn't shy. So, my father remembers when there was a Jew where he came from a place called Ungvar in Hungary. There was a Jew who, the only Jew in town who actually took a trip to Eretz Yisrael, he came back and he brought some pears, and the whole city came to the big Beis Medrash, and the Rav was cutting up pears from Eretz Yisrael, and everybody got a little piece, and they were all crying. It wasn't like now where people go to Eretz Yisrael, ben ha-semestrim, ben ha-zmanim. There was one Jew in his whole town that ever went to Eretz Yisrael. So there's a minhag to eat dried fruit on Tu B'Shvat. Bavade hamok lemina ki betu b'shvat Rosh Hashanah li'ilon. V'inyin b'zeh yeshu mizeh d'choch m'sadavke b'yisem hayom yimei shavivim. Now I know, you know that these days that we're in now are very, very great days for tshuva. The days of shavivim, of these parashiyas of shmais, it's not only when B'nai Yisrael left Mitzrayim, but it's a time when each and every one of us can leave the Mitzrayim that we're stuck in, especially in the Inyan of Kedusha, of Yosef HaTzadik, and then Yosef Kedusha Sabris, the days of Shoivavim, the Ariyah Kodesh of Magala, that these days are very, very powerful days. Tremendous Eisrots in these weeks, especially, it's a leap year, it's an Ibu year, we have the extra parashiyos of Truma Tetzav. It's a very strong time for Tshuva. So the Tzadik Reb Shlomo Eiger explains the connection between Rosh Hashanah Le'ilan and Shoivavim. Hamasugolim l'tshuva. These days are masugolim. It's a great opportunity, tremendous, tremendous hashpah of tshuva. Dini b'tu b'shvat masra b'chazar l'konis l'achluchis v'sarif l'ilanis. K'nis Rashi zal. We have a Kabbalah from Rashi who learns pshat in the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah. When you look outside on Tu B'Shvat, especially in Chutzlar, especially Tavshin Ayin Vav in New York, we don't see any trees. We see trees, but they're bare. They're without any life. And it's a soul, and it's a soul, b'koishi hashkedi aparachat, as the old song goes, you could see maybe some blossoms of almonds beginning. It's been the last few weeks. I understand it was nice weather. It's raining. Snow, it's supposed to snow, yeah. So we don't see, but we have a Kabbalah, Rashi tells us, that the sorof, the sap, on Tu B'Shvat, even though we can't see with our eyes, the sap begins to make its way into the tree. It's the first lachluch, it's the first moisture, the first sign of life that penetrates into the root of the tree. Umimeno achakach tzmichas hapri. Eventually, in the spring, later on, the peiros, the fruit, will grow. Vihine b'chayrif in the winter, kashenoshu ha-peiros v'gam ha-olam, when all of the fruit has disappeared already for a while, and all of the leaves are gone from the trees. V'ha'ilan nira yovesh mikarei, and the tree seems to us to be completely dried out, lifeless, dead, without hope. Ulamaris ayin nidma ki'ilan chara v'avim in ha'olam, vein lo takana yoseh. And to our eyes, the trees appear to be finished, without any hope for the future. Whatever there was is in the past, but nothing will ever grow again. That's the way the tree feels. That's the way it seems during the winter. V'achakach royim ki maschil michodesh litzmoch v'lasas peiros. An amazing thing happens as we go past Purim, Tom of Pesach. Slowly, slowly, you begin to see leaves and flowers, fruits. To the point that when we look at the trees in the spring, later in the spring, the summer, it's hard for us to remember that these trees were empty, were bare, because they're so filled with life. Uksiv, it says in Pasuk, Ki Adam Eitz HaSodeh. The Torah says that man is the tree of the field. Ki Adam Eitz HaSodeh. Because sometimes a person, after he has damaged himself, after he has done something that he wished he had never done, after he had behaved in a way that he felt he simply had no control over. You know, the word chayref, winter, is an expression you find very often in the writings of the Achronim, b'yemei chorfi. You know what it means, b'yemei chorfi? Literally means in the winter years of my life, but it means when I was a young man. Because those years of being a young man, especially now, the winter years, the chayref, were very often, especially because of what we're living with right now, technology and so on, that very often during the chayref, during that winter of the years before getting married, a person is poigim. Especially the Indian of Yosef at Tzadik. The person feels as if his whole life has been destroyed, his whole world is destroyed. Sometimes a bocher worked so hard in Eretz Yisrael, in the honor of Kedusha. And then when you come back, you try. But it's very, very hard. It's very easy to slip into that world that you grew up in. It's very natural to slip into that world. And when a person falls, especially after a time of being filled with life and feeling good, you feel chalila ki'ilu nechrav loy oylamai. You feel as if everything is fafal, it's destroyed. Turn it over. And you have a feeling, ki'ilu, there's nothing, there's no way that you could ever fix this. There's no way that you could ever, ever become that person you were dreaming of becoming. You feel, especially when you hit chalil, a low point, you feel that there's no way that I could ever get out of the mess that I'm in or what I've caused. L'sakin mashapogam v'chisar. poigem to damage, to blemish, to destroy v'chisar and what I've removed from my life, all that's beautiful, all that's sweet, all that's holy and pure, that has been removed, that I removed with my own eyes, my own hands, my own ears, mouth, that I removed from my life. Oz yilmod meher ilam. So what does Tu B'Shvat say? Tu B'Shvat says, look at the tree and learn from the tree. And from the tree we can learn an amazing thing. They hear the tree in the winter, in the chorif, in the winter the tree lost everything and was dried out. Hein ani eitz yovesh, like we say in the Haftarah in Yeshaya on fast days. Hein ani eitz yovesh. The tree was totally dried out and saw no hope for the future. But we see from the tree that by the time the weeks and the months pass and the winter passes and it comes to the spring, to the summer, so many flowers, so many beautiful leaves and fruit, that the tree can't even relate to the emptiness of the past. And those days of the winter, those days, those damaged days, they disappear. We learn this from the tree. And the person is able to experience what it says in the Pasuk in Iyov. Ki yesh le'etz tikva. For there is hope for the tree. Im yikares. Remember, the tree is a code word for you and me. Im yikares. There is hope for the tree, even if it's cut down. Vayachlif. Vayanaktoi le'sechtal. There's hope for the tree, even if it's cut down, that it will sprout again. The yanakta le'sechtal and its tender branch will not stop. Others will be able to go on. The sap will be able to continue up into the tree and give it new life. And the tree will smell the scent of the water, and will begin, and the leaves will begin to blossom, and will bring forth new plants and new fruits. That's what it says in Iyov. The world was so empty. It was that time of Tohu Vavohu, the years of Tohu, until Avraham Avinu came. And the early years of his life also were empty, surrounded by Avodah Zarah. But the Pasuk is not only talking about Avraham Avinu, it's talking about each and every one of us. Because a person imagines that after what he's done, he believes, he thinks, he's worried, he's afraid that he's cut off, like the tree that's cut. Avaloikainhu, it's not true. Ragvoid yachliv yanakhtal yasakhtal. The Pasuk is telling us, void yachliv, that even though you feel now cut down and empty, you will sprout again. Tachzo elov lachluchas dikdusha. And that lachluchas of kedusha, the sap, the moisture of kedusha of holiness will return. May reach mayim yafriach, from the scent of water, the smell of the water, the plant already begins to grow. Now, what's the scent of water? It's of course hinting to the Torah that's compared to water. It says in the pasuk, called Soma Luchulamayim, let all those who are thirsty go to the water. The Gemara Bava Kamma, Daf Yud Zayin, says, Ein Mayim Ela Torah. The way to revive ourselves, the way to begin again, is with the water of Torah. As Chazal say, V'amor Shabba Machzir L'mutav, that the light of Torah brings a person back. Yafriach Mitzvah Samasim Toivim. And with learning, and why a person is steiging in learning, and pushing himself to learn despite the fact that he feels sick and empty, he pushes himself to make his way to the Beis HaMedrash, to start again, to learn no matter what has happened, even after a bad night, but to come in the morning, to come back to Beis HaMedrash and to learn and to learn, that somehow what begins to happen, you begin to come back to life. And you begin to blossom again with mitzvahs and ma'asim tovim. Not that tree that grows again. And all of a sudden you see so much kedusha has come into your life you can really barely remember the winter and how terrible it was. The Isa B'Gemara, the Gemara tells us in Brachas, Man de Nofik B'Yom B'Denis and V'Chazi, Lon de Malavli, Oymer, Bor Shal Chisar B'Olam, there's a beautiful Bracha. We make during Nisan, the Chathchila, it's Machloikis, Rishonim, whether or not, and Poskim, whether or not you can make it after Nisan, but of course the main time to say the Bracha of Birchas Ilonis is in Nisan, when you go, and all of you have made this Bracha, when the tree is beginning to blossom, and you make the Bracha, and the Bracha is a Nusach of the Bracha Shal Chisar B'Olam Klum. It's a beautiful Bracha. That Hashem created beautiful trees and flowers and fruits. Lechisar ba'ilomo. There's nothing missing from the world. Now you and I, after we've done something that we shouldn't, after we're paigam, we feel that our whole world is missing and that we have nothing. But when you look at the tree, Reb Shlomo Eger is saying, you're reminded that you can come to a place again in your life where lechisar ba'ilomo klum, where you feel mamish, the most unbelievable simcha. L'chisa b'olam, there's nothing missing from your life. You know, Bocher is the oisius charev. Beis ches reish, which is the same oisius as b'chira, to choose. And when you make the wrong choices, the Bocher feels a churm, that he's charev. And he loses his whole feeling of rachavus, of expansiveness and life. But when you look at the tree, in the yontif of Tu B'Shvat, is that reminder that you can come back to a place where lechisa b'olam, and you'll feel that nothing is missing from my life. Because that pagan takes away the whole simchas achayim that a Jew has in this world. And no matter how much money he has, and no matter how much sliach he is with things in this world, but if he doesn't have kedusha, he feels that he's chos, he's missing everything. And when you have kedusha, and when you're stagging in kedusha, and learning, and in kedusha, then the feeling that you have is, even if you don't have a penny, you feel like chaser klum. Nothing is missing. Hakavana kanal kishiroi bimei ha'ovev v'ilona shebechayev nira hayakilu charu v'yob shulagamri. When you come to the spring, and everything is filled with life, it's hard to believe that there was a winter when everything was dead and everything was dry. V'achshev heimelav levim maitzim olam uprochim mechadish, and everything, new leaves and new flowers. And you can't recognize this is the same tree that I saw in the winter that was totally bare and dead. Yilmud la'atma remiza de chachmasa. A Jew has to learn from the tree a remiza de chachmasa. A remiz that Hashem is telling us something. Hashem is talking to us. V'yoyim l'nafsha, and he should say to his soul, Baruch shalei chisa ba'ilom ma'iklum. Baruch Hashem that I have the Torah, Baruch Hashem that I'm a Yid. And that no matter what I've done in the past, I'm able to bring myself back to life with the mayim of Torah and bring myself back to a feeling of lechisa b'olam klum, a life that is filled with happiness, with mitzvahs and masim tovim. Rishon lom yochel asakin ma'isev lagi ad madrega kazu kilo b'chlal lechisa b'olam, that he could bring himself to a place where he feels kilo he was not mechasa anything in his life, he's not missing anything, and whatever happened in the past, it's gone. Chazal tell us that in the month of Shvat, the ziv, the light of the trees begins to come back. Even though it's not yet growing, but you begin to see the light of the tree. The ziv, the or, the light comes back. Dahada beziv le'ilona. Ube gemar, the gemar Sanhedrin says an amazing thing. Sholcho le'lamar ukva. The ziv like of Abbas Yeshalom. Mar Ukva was referred to by the other Chachamim as the one who is shining like Barbasya. Who's Barbasya? Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu is called Barbasya, even though, of course, Basya wasn't his biological mother, but she saved him. So they would refer to Mar Ukva as the one who is shining like Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu had a light that came from his face. Now Mar Ukva, we don't know why did they call him the one who was shining, who had this ziv. So Rashi brings some explanations over there. Ma'ukva, Rashi brings one view that Ma'ukva bal tshuva hava. Rashi says an amazing thing over there. Rashi says, if you have a chance to look in Sanhedrin Laman Aleph, Rashi says that he found in a Sefer Haggadah, in a book of Haggadahs, of Medrash, Rashi found that Ma'ukva, nosen einav bi'ish achas, he fell crazy in love with some married woman. Ma'ukva. was crazy, meshuggah in love. And Rashi says that it says in this sefer that Mar Okva was so crazy in love with this married woman that he became sick. He became ill. He was lovesick, mamish, but he became physically ill. Now, Rashi brings down there that this woman, this married woman, one time she had reached a place of such terrible poverty. Now, Mar Okva was a person of means. He was wealthy. And she had nothing, this woman that he was meshuggah for, had no, she was poor. And she went to Mar Okva to borrow money. And Mitach Duchka, Rashi says, that she was in such a desperate place, and Mar Okva was going to take advantage of her and do something with her. And this Ratzisle, she agreed to do a maise with him, to do something bad with Mar Okva. And Rashi brings over there that he was Kaivesh his Yetzahara. He gave a scream. And like Yosef at Sadik, he asked her to leave, and he didn't even look. He asked her to leave, and he was Mezgaber on that Yetzahara. And after that, when he went out into the Shuk, the Chacham saw him, and they looked at him, and they said that there was a light that was coming from the face of Mar Okva like Moshe Rabbeinu. That's the story. There are certain people that might say that Mar Okva would have appeared darkest at that time in his life. But the Chachamim, who are so sensitive, and the Chacham who understand what Hashem Kivyachal is feeling, they saw such a light coming from Mar Okva. That here, he was in the place, the lowest, you have a Mar Okva, can you imagine? Was in such a low place in his life that he had become sick because of a married woman. This is one of the greatest, Gedolei Hador, that it became sick. And he was kovish that Yetzer. He somehow was able to come back. Mar Okva bal tshuva hava, harisha ziv inyan tshuva. So what do we see? We see from here that light, ziv, that ziv, light, comes back to a person when he comes back. When he overcomes that. And that he can always get that light back, even though he lost it for a while. He can always get it back. The Kanikar B'loshan said, the Hadar Be'ziv Le'ilon of Arem is L'Adam Kanal. And the hint, of course, is to each and every one of us. Therefore, B'Shalim Le'ega says, there's a custom to eat Davka dried fruit on Tu B'Shvat. Because the dried fruit tell you that even though you feel right now in the winter dried out, and you feel without energy, without kaiches, and you feel chalil that you are paigim, so a person often feels, the remiza de chochmas of yom ha'ela during the days of shavuvim, yimei shavuvim, Hashem is saying to each and every one of us, shuvu banim shavavim, I want you to come back to me. The winter will end. The ikur is to throw yourselves into learning. The ikur is the lachluchis, the mayim, the water. The ikur is that water. That water is the, was the pasuk in Iyov says, mireach mayim yafriach. I'll tell you an interesting thing. Well, I'd like to talk to you for a long time, but I understand you have something like at 8:05, but you have to be somewhere. I don't know where. But I'll tell you, his Eidi, Reb Leibler, Schusigelein, who said, and it's brought down also a word from Chaskel Kuzhin. Any of you ever hear of Mudgets, the music from Mudgets? So that comes from the Chaskel Kuzhin. Just in this last parasha, you remember that we came to a place and we were so thirsty. And we tried to drink the water, but the water we couldn't drink, why? Kimarimheim, the water was bitter. And Hashem, and we screamed and we cried, and Hashem shall Moshe Rabbeinu a tree, that's the Indian of Tu B'Shvat. Vayareo, Hashem eats, Vayashlech al-Mayim, he threw it into the water, Vayimtegu al-Mayim, and the water became sweetened. And they named that place, Hashem told them to name the place Maru. So Chaskel Kuzhin asked, why was the place named Maru? Why was it named Bitter? What would have been a better name for the place, Chaver? What would have been a better name? Mosok. Matok. Masuka. Mosok or Masuka. It should have been named sweet. The waters were sweet, and that was the miracle. Chaskel Kuzma's questions. Good question. Why call it Mara? Call it Masuka. So Chaskel says, and Ablaidla says a word like this too. It's a Mardik Vard. Listen to this. He said that when Bnei Yisrael was screaming and crying, they were so thirsty. And you know, and finally they get some water and they put it in their mouths and they can't drink it. It's hard for us to be masig what they were going through. So Rav Chaskel said that they started to cry and to daven. All they were davening for was that Hashem should get us out of here, take us to someplace else. Like, we need another place. This is not working. Take us to some other place where there's water. Because this is not working. He said they never, ever, ever dreamt, they never imagined that Hashem was going to do what? Take the very same water and to make it sweet. They thought Hashem would take them someplace else. Maybe. Maybe if they'd be zeichet to an ace, they'd go somewhere else and there would be different water. But that these very waters should become sweet. They never imagined such a thing. So therefore, Chaskel says that Hashem Yisbarach told them to call the place Mara. Because in life there are times that are bitter. That's what life is all about. There are a lot of things in life that are not good. And we go through difficulties. Each person with his own inyan. There's mayim marim. There's bitter water. And even though in our seichel we know that Hashem could bring us to something different, but real emunah, the deepest emunah, says to a Jew that what I'm in right now, Hashem is preparing for me right in this sorrow that I'm in right now. Batzahir chavtali, Hashem is preparing for me a Yeshua. In this bitterness, there's a hidden sweetness. So therefore, Hashem said to call the name Mara, to know that whenever you encounter bitterness in life, if you try, if you cry, if you daven, if you learn, if you start again, the bitterness will be changed into sweetness. The bitterness will be changed into sweetness. In the introduction to the Zohar Kaddish, we're taught that there's a place that's called Heichal Mashiach. The room of Mashiach Tzekein, a chamber of Mashiach. And the Zohar says in the introduction, the Zohar says, and how does a person get to be the Heichal of the Mashiach? How do you get into that place? So it says in the Zohar, only those who are able to change darkness into light and change bitterness into sweetness. Only those Jews are allowed into that place that's called Heichal of the Mashiach. So I want to give each and every one of you a bracha. I know that for many of you, I don't know who you are. I mean, I know Tani, but I don't know the rest of the Chavi here. It's hard to leave Yeshiva. Some of you probably didn't want to leave Eretz Yisrael. And it's hard Bechlal to come. Washington Heights, there's a lot of good here in the Yeshiva, but Bechlal, this doesn't look like Eretz Yisrael over here. And you could put a lot of pictures of Yerushalayim on your wall, but if you see through the window, it's like, it's different, you know. And to be in the Charef, and in the Charef of your lives in certain ways. But if you take advantage of the learning, and if you connect to the people who are here, because there's such great guys here, terrific people, Rebbeim, Mashgichim, and the Bachan themselves, such a lebedicke place. It's cold outside, but it's very warm in here. But you have to make an effort to do that. Then you'll see that whatever's bitter begins to become sweet. And if the tree was bare, you begin to see slowly but surely little blossoms, little flowers, fruits begin to grow. And then it's an amazing thing. You turn around, you see something really happen. The Rebbe Rabbi Streliska said that if a person would sit by a tree, you put a little sapling into the ground, and you would watch it, and you'd never have to go to sleep, you would never have to close your eyes, you would just watch that, you wouldn't see it move. You would never see it move. But then somehow, you don't know how it happened, but over the months and the years, it became like this beautiful, magnificent tree. And Rabbi Streliska said, K'odem Eitz HaSadeh. If you push yourselves to learn, come to davening on time. Don't miss davening. Come to davening. Be part of the Beis HaMedrash. Try to come at night. Even though it's scary with the tests and against midterms and finals, just push yourself at least for a few minutes to come to the garden, to the gan of the Beis HaMedrash. And if you do that and you push yourself, you'll see that the bitterness becomes sweet. and that whatever Amalek was covering, that's at the end of Parshas B'Shalach, whatever was covering, the hand of Amalek is removed. And one is able to have a tremendous, tremendous aliyah. Don't get lost in a silly way of thinking that the only place that I could be a Ben Torah is in Eretz Yisrael. It's not true. Shlei libcha cholok al ha-mokim. The Bessar Kalin said that a Jew has to know that every mokim is leis also upon me. There is no place without Hashem. Everywhere we are, Hashem is saying, in this place, you could be my tzliach. Don't say, no, when I was in Eretz Yisrael, there it was gevaldik. I didn't have to go to English. I didn't have this. I was in Yerushalayim, or I was in Beit Shemesh, or I was in Tzfas, wherever. That's for babies. This is where you are now. For whatever the Hashgacha was, this is where you are now. In this mokum, this place that you're in, you can become very great. If you want, you take advantage of it. Hashem Shabbat should help that each and every one of you should grow. It should come out from you beautiful, beautiful fruit. I give you such a bracha. I hope that you each give me a bracha, that my family, that my children, my grandchildren should go in the right way and should continue in the right way. And we should bezeichem et Hashem all to have delicious pears in Yerushalayim with the Golashan of Amitis. Amen. Amen. I don't know if they could stay. Do you have to be someplace now? We have Marav? You want to have Marav? Who can stay for Marav? We just need 10. Okay, let's go.